thankful to be here this morning. The Lord's been talking to me this week about some things, and I'd like to share them with you today. I appreciate your prayers. I need them. If we don't have the Lord with us, it's not going to be good, but I believe that the Lord will help us out this morning. I'd like to talk about the subject of the knowledge of God. And that's a pretty deep subject, and there's so many scriptures. There are a lot of scriptures that I wrote down, and I had several of them. I said, well, we'll have to save this for another time, but I'm going to bring the ones that I feel like are the most applicable to the thought that we have today. So maybe we could start in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in the second verse. We have been considering in the last few weeks the thought, kind of had these scriptures going in my mind a lot about growing in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't write that one down, but and I may have not even quoted it quite right, but that's one of the thoughts that I have been pondering over, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another scripture that says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I believe that's in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in the first verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so we have this thought of the Lord having things for us and making available for us, and for us to do everything we can to continue to grow in those things. We want to be able to face the world with an answer of why I do this. And we need to be able to face temptation with it is written. We need to be able to take the gospel to all the world, to explain to others, give a reason of the hope that is within us. We need to be able to have something inside of us that will help us when we go through the dark places in life and the wilderness and all that, the dry places. And we need to be able to have something that can keep us through all of those things. Now, I'd like to consider a few scriptures about milk and meat. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so, the scripture gives an analogy of, there's a lot of analogies in scripture that help us to understand how we're supposed to be. And many things in nature God created to help us to understand His ways. Well, this is one of them. When we become, what does it say? Well, the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Our old man is crucified. We become a new creature. We become a baby in Christ. A whole, complete baby. But it's a baby. It's somebody, you know, I've got a son here that's 2 years old, and he's just little more than a baby. He's not very tall. He can't even open a door by himself yet, except I think he maybe did open one the other day. But he hasn't been able to do that kind of stuff. And I don't expect him, I'm not going to go tell him, son, I want you to go out and feed the dogs. I'm not going to tell him to do that because he's not going to do it in the right way. I don't expect him to. But I do if I say, I want you to pick up that toy and put it in your toy box, I do expect him to have the knowledge to do that. And so, whereas he would never get in trouble for failing to properly feed the dog, he might get in trouble if he fails to pick up the toy that I told him to pick up. That makes sense? Well, then I have another son that's a lot older. And it would be perfectly... I would expect him to be able to go feed the dog if I told him to go feed the dog. But I'm not going to ask him, I'm not going to say, son, would you run to Walmart for me and get this list of items that I need? He's not old enough for that yet. We have a progression in which we grow. And we're expected, as we grow, we're expected to increase in our capabilities. So this says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What's this talking about? It's talking about that in the word of God, there is all the information for us to be able to increase in our capabilities day by day. But there is a time where the scripture puts a difference between milk and meat. See, my youngest son is two, and a year ago, or a year and a half ago, his primary food was milk. Well, that's not his primary food anymore. His primary food is pretty much the same stuff that you and I eat. Maybe we have to cut it up in small pieces. He's not very good with salad yet and some of that stuff. But for the most part, he can eat the same things that you and I eat. And he can sure eat the desserts and those kind of things. So if we go over to Hebrews, the 5th chapter... we'll read another verse here about milk. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Maybe we'll start down here at about the 5th verse. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The entire book of Hebrews is written so that we could understand that Christ replaces the law, that Christ is superior to the priesthood, that it's the Hebrews to me is one of the... it's one of the deepest, most informative books of the New Testament. And there's parts of it that I don't understand at all. But Hebrews has a lot of information about Jesus Christ. That's what the Hebrews is about. It's about Jesus Christ. It starts out, it says God at sundry times spake by the prophets and in this last days has spoken to us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds. And so He brought in the doctrine that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment and the replacement for everything up to that time. And so that's what this is talking about. But listen to the next words of this chapter. It says, well, I'll back up and just read the last couple of verses to make it flow together good. In being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now when it says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, I got another, what this really, okay, it said, it is hard to explain. These things are hard to explain. Why? It's not because Jesus is too complicated. It's not because the doctrine is too deep for our minds to understand. It is in a sense because the scripture says his ways are past finding out. But there is a knowledge of God that is made available to you and me. We all have the ability to come to a knowledge of God, and the knowledge that we have actually correlates with the responsibility that we have. God has things for you and I to do, and we need to have knowledge in ourselves that the Lord puts in us. But there are some things that need to be done in order to attain that knowledge. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, or what was that? How did it say that? Hard to explain. It's hard for us to even say in a way that you can understand. Hard for you to understand, really, is what it means, because you're dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Now, it's amazing to me that he said this in the book of Hebrews, because I've looked at the book of Hebrews and I've thought, wow, this has so much information, and it does. It has a lot of information in it. Hebrews is the word of God. What does the scripture say? All scripture is profitable for, I wrote this down. I want to read that. Or else I'm going to get it wrong if I try to quote it. I won't. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so this was written the way that it was written for the people and the amount of ability they had to understand. So Paul wrote this, but there's another dimension here that we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But for right now, I want you to understand that what he was writing and all the things, the analogies that he was putting forward, do you know that the way he did that was what you would call milk? Because he said, there's more that I want to explain to you, but you're dull of hearing, and so we can't do that right now. And so this is what we're going to give you. What do you think the book of Hebrews would have looked like in its writing if it would have been written to people that were ready to receive another, more of a dimension of knowledge, something that was a lot fuller? But instead, he said, we've got to give this to you in it. We can't even give it to you all. We can give you a little bit, just a little bit. And I don't know. I don't think of Hebrews as being a little bit, but more about that later. I want to read another one that's similar to it. It says, I'll get this before we go anywhere. It says, but for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right. So we started off with Peter saying, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. But then we have the understanding that there's a time that you need to get to the place where milk or the more basic things is not going to be enough. You need to have some other things, some more knowledge, some things that are maybe a little bit harder to chew and harder to swallow, harder to accept. If you follow along with my analogy, and it says, strong meat belongeth to them who that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Another translation puts it maybe in a little bit better, more understandable sense. It says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I'm going to read one more scripture real quick. It's in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. Paul came to the Corinthians, and you remember the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to remark, at the beginning of the book, it's very clear that he was not talking to people that had backslidden or had completely apostatized. He was talking to people that had a lot of problems, but the reason that they had the problems is because they hadn't grown like they should. He said, and I, brethren, well, in the first chapter, he said, I'm, I'm coming to the church of Corinth, called to be saints. And then in another place, he said, but we have the mind of Christ. He was talking to people that had a certain amount of understanding, and they were Christians and they had been converted, but there was some understanding that was lacking. You know that there are times where there is understanding that's lacking. That's not our fault at all. Scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. He doesn't come and say, you should have had this. But there comes a time when the opportunities to discern are presented. We pass them by, then we become responsible for those things. So Paul was assigning some responsibility to these people. It says in the third chapter and the first verse of 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Well, what's wrong with being a babe in Christ? There's nothing wrong with it if that's what you really are. But I expect my children, as they get older, I expect them to increase in their capabilities, in their understanding, in their emotions, in every way. And a lot of that has something to do with the way that I teach them. But a lot of it also has to do with the way they set themselves and the way that they determine, I'm going to grow. I'm going to be responsible. You can reject all that stuff if you want to. But a lot of times, we as parents have a lot of responsibility. And Lord, help me that we will be able, help all of us. Lord, help all of us that will be able to do our part in those areas. But it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And like to point us also at another scripture. I'm not going to turn to it. But it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So Paul was talking to people that were really not, they were not at the place where they needed to be. There's a time where we're babes in Christ and we don't know stuff. And that's okay. But there's also, throughout our life, the Lord places opportunities here and there. And you know that we have, He places an opportunity that we may go to a revival or whatever. And there, while we're there, we hear and we get convicted in our spirit, or we get reproved. Remember what the scripture says? It says all scripture is given for those things, for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be perfect. The Lord never meant for us to live our whole lives and being babes in Christ. He wanted us to become strong and to be able to fight the forces of the enemy and to be able to wield the sword with courage and to be able to cut across false things that are presented in the world, ideas, principalities, powers, never people, but the ideas that are behind many of the things that people believe. The false doctrines, to be able to shine light into people's souls, that's the Lord's light that we reflect. We are supposed to do that. Paul said, I want to teach you some things. I've got some things I want to show you, but you're still carnal. You have this envying and you have this strife and you have all these things, and those things prevent you from being able to have the knowledge of God like you need to have. Now, I want to comment that the knowledge of God is so deep. And it's past finding out. There are many things, Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For then I will know even as I am known. I believe that there are many things in our life that we, doesn't matter how spiritual we are, we're going to have those things in our life. We're going to say, why did that happen? I don't know. The very best answer we're going to be able to give, and it might not satisfy people a lot of times, is I don't know. I don't know why that happened. You ask me why this happened in the world, or why God let this happen, why God lets this evil happen over here. I don't know. I don't know the answer. There may be a time I do know later. I don't know it right now, but I have an idea that some of those things we won't know until we get to heaven. Song says we'll understand it all by and by. And I believe that I believe God wants us to be able to understand it when we get to heaven. Because it's going to be one of the ways that we're going to be able to praise and to thank Him. And it will take all of eternity to praise Him. We're going to see and we're going to say, oh, this is so magnificent. But I don't want to take away from the fact that the scripture, that the word, the knowledge of God is so very deep. You ever, I don't know if a whole lot, I went in Honduras, I've been down there a few times, and one of the things I like to do there is go snorkeling. The water is so clear down there, I can see easily from here to where the back of the chapel is on a good day, and even farther, 80, 100 feet underwater, and as I swim underwater, I've heard it's so beautiful down there, and I can see shapes that are off in the distance, and I don't know what they are, but I know that there's something there. And as I get closer to them, I can swim closer, and it just comes more and more into view. And then I think, okay, well, I know what that is. Well, you know what happens when I get over there? I see more shapes. I see other things, and I could just go on forever and learn about the, you know, what's there in that area. But the word of, or the knowledge of God is like that. We can swim and we can immerse ourselves in the word of God, and we can think, oh, okay, I know what this says. So the word of God. I said we would come back to this thing in Hebrews. Is Hebrews just then a shallow book where it's just written to babes in Christ? No, absolutely not. Is 1 Corinthians a shallow book just written to babes in Christ? Those were written to babes in Christ. And there were things that he wrote, and the knowledge that he wanted him to get was written in such a way where they could understand it. But you know, the Word of God is so much deeper. There are things that I think it's futility to look at a verse and say, okay, all right, in Bible study tonight, we're going to study this verse, okay? We're going to get all the meaning out. You can't do that. Maybe, yeah, if you have an inspiration to study that verse, you might be able to get some things out of it. But the Word of God is so deep, and there are so many things. And when the Scripture says the Word of God, all Scripture is given of inspiration of God. You know, that's the Word of God are really the only words that are like this. They're alive, they're quick, they're powerful. The Scripture says the Word of God is quick and powerful. You can read the ancient writings of Homer and Aristotle and all those people back then. Homer believed the earth was flat. Aristotle believed that there were five primary elements. Earth, fire, water, air, maybe a fifth one, I don't know. Those beliefs, those things that they believed, were reflected in the writings that they put out. The Word of God's not like that. The Word of God was written in a time where there wasn't a lot known by mankind about science and about those things. But there are no errors in the Word of God. You go back and you look, and it's something that a verse was written all the way back here by somebody who maybe had no idea of all the meaning in it. And now you can get this out of it, and you can get encouragement out of it. And another time, the Lord will use that very same verse to give you a reproof, to convict you. I've marveled many times. The Word of God is not just confined to the Bible, but He speaks through inspired ministers and things like that. I have marveled many times, heard a stirring message from the Lord, and I thought, boy, this was for me. He just sat down and listened to me talking inside my head, and He answered all my questions and everything. The Lord gave Him that for me. And then I'll hear somebody else talking, and they'll say, boy, wasn't that a wonderful message? And I'm like, yeah. And they'll say, you know, I just feel like He just really preached about this and this. And I'm thinking, well, that's not what He preached about. But the Lord can make His words go many directions and help in all kinds of situations. And they're so deep and they're so powerful. And I can look at a scripture and I can think, okay, well, that's what this scripture means. And then I can revisit that scripture years later, and the Lord will inspire me with a whole nother meaning. And it might be something I think of the scripture in Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And I think about the way that the sun and the moon, they operate, and the moon is in orbit around the earth, and the earth is in orbit around the sun. But the reality, if you study it out, the sun and the moon are a representation of the old law versus Jesus Christ. Where the old law points to Jesus Christ, the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It's borrowed from the sun. They didn't even know that when they wrote those scriptures, but you can look, and those scriptures that were written without the knowledge of science that we have and the knowledge, those things underscore and they back up all the things that the Lord has shown to us in science. I have seen in science and math and music, the deeper you go, and I've only gone a little tiny bit, the deeper you go into it, the more the Lord just wants to teach you. But you know, it says that He withholds those from people that don't want, that reject knowledge. There's a scripture that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's because you've rejected knowledge. The knowledge is there. You can look, you know, I've studied music a little bit, and it's just amazing to me how music and light correlate with each other. Do you know that a major chord points to the Trinity? Do you know that? Did you know that the scale, an octave, points to the whole system of seven being a complete number, and the cycle of the days of the week and the Sabbath rest? It all points to that. I can prove it to you. I can show you. And it's not just music, but music and light together teach that. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And we see the Lord has all this knowledge of who He is. And He wants to teach us of His goodness. And He wants to teach us of His ways. And He wants us to look at that and say, when we are immersed in God's Word and in the things that God uses to teach us, we can look at it and say, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Worship and thanksgiving should be the feelings that are generated by looking at the complete and perfect plan of God. And the more and the deeper we get into it, we can see that it's just so wonderful. I would encourage you to make a determination this morning that I am going to get as much of the knowledge of God as I can. I'm not talking about just this intellectual head knowledge where you can quote chapter and verse for everything and everything. That's important. I encourage everyone to get as deep into the scriptures and the Word of God and as you can, memorize where stuff is and stuff like that. But the Lord has things He wants to teach us about the way He operates and the way He works, because we share His nature. And He wants us to operate like He operates. How are we going to show God's love to people if we don't understand really what God's love really is? Now, I'd like to read a scripture. Yes, it's in Colossians 1:8. It kind of starts in the middle of a thought here, but that's not the thought I'm trying to get, so we'll start there. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, talking about the love and the fervency that the Colossians had. I could be wrong, but I think this is one of the congregations that Paul had not actually heard, not actually met. He hadn't met these people. He had just had a testimony of them being brought by others. And so he wrote them an epistle. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, and heard of your fervency, your love, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I want to touch on what we read at the very beginning about the milk and the meat. Okay? I heard somebody talking, and there was something that this person was basically trashing one of the principles of Christianity that I hold very dear. I didn't say anything, but I listened. And he was saying, this is just stupid. This doesn't work. And I don't think that, and you all these people that believe this, and he's kind of talking about the people here that we worship with and some things that have been taught among us for a long time. You don't have to do all this. It doesn't make any sense to me. I want to tell you the problem with what he said there. This particular person didn't have any kind of victory in his life. This person was somebody that was not able to keep the victory and not able to control things and passions and those kind of things, and yet still had a profession, but said, this doesn't make any sense. I don't need to do that. I want to tell you that the proof of Christianity is in a changed life and in victory and in what the Lord wants to do to people. There are times, you know, that there's something a while back that I didn't understand. There was something that I'll bring my grandpa into this. I really appreciated my grandpa, but there were times where as he got older, he would teach things and maybe come across in a way that was a little bit abrasive, and I would listen to it and it would just turn me off, and I would think, I don't want anything to do with that. And since he's died, I've come to realize he had some really, really good things to teach, and he had some things that he believed, and I didn't understand. There were some things that he taught that I didn't understand at all. And I remember one day sitting in service, and there was something that I had been taught by those older than me, those that had gone before. I had been taught, this is the way the Lord wants us to do. And I didn't understand it at all. And I thought, well, that it just doesn't make any sense. I think these people, they don't know why they believe it. They're just kind of following some sort of a standard that doesn't mean anything. Well, one day at Monarch, a preacher got up and started preaching about something, a totally different subject. And I got to realizing, I've got a need in my soul right there. This is it. I've got a need right here. And I said, Lord, help me to get there. I want this. This is something I need. And 2 or 3 days later, another minister got up and then started preaching about this thing, mentioned it briefly, didn't even spend hardly any time on it, didn't just mention this thing briefly that I had not ever understood. And you know, with this newfound understanding of the knowledge of God that I had in my soul, that I had, the Lord had dealt with me with a need. You're too carnal here. You need to move up here. And he didn't even do it in a hard way or anything. I just realized the Lord, in His gentle shepherd-like way, I don't even want to say shepherd. He is our shepherd. In his gentle way, the great shepherd caused me to understand that there was a need that I needed to that I needed filled. And of course, I can't fill it myself, so I asked the Lord to do it. Sometimes that means that we give up some things and we give up some ideas that we've had. And we give up some times where maybe we've made some speeches about it and people were afraid that we're going to look bad. We're going to look dumb. That's okay. You give those things up. And the Lord showed me this. And a couple days later, this person was preaching on this one thing I never understood. And all of a sudden, it clicked. And I said, oh, I get it. I've never understood this before, but I get it. I understand. This is how it works. And I had that knowledge and I got that thing. The Lord wants to do that with you and me. And there have been other things that I have been studying, and the Lord would deal with me on something and say, son, I want you to move up here. I have victory for you here. I want you to have it. Will you take it? Will you move up here? Will you slay this giant with my power? And there have been times that I've kind of let it rest and I haven't done anything with it. And then there have been other times and I suffered because of that too. But there have been times where I've taken those things and, Lord, help me. I know this is a problem. I know this is something I need to move up in. Help me to be able, by your power, to conquer this thing. And the Lord will help you do it. And then it was after that that there was something that the Lord revealed to me, some knowledge that would help me to be able to know how to be and to live. You know, the knowledge of God is not just some sort of intellectual plane that we get on and only the smart people can get here and the ones that are not so smart can get here. No, He wants us to be filled. He wants all of us. I want to tell you that we make a mistake when we think that the Lord, I don't have to know that much. The Lord wants us to be filled with His knowledge in a way where we can take hold of it and understand and be filled with thanksgiving and be filled with worship and gratitude, where we are in awe of all the Lord has done. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. He wants to teach it to us through His nature. He wants to teach us through His Spirit in our personal times of prayer and worship. He wants to teach us through the written Word of God. He wants to send it to us through messages that are preached and taught. There are different times He'll even send it through people that aren't inspired at all. I think He turns those things and uses them for our good, and we can say, oh, I get that. I would like to caution, while we're here, I would like to caution us about just saying, I've heard people say, if it's not directly in the Bible, you can't teach it. I strongly disagree with that. I'm not saying that we can have a committee and make up, all right, we as a group, we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do this, and we've got this set of rules, and you follow them. There are groups like that. And my disagreement with them is not that they have the wrong set of rules. It is that we don't have, ministers don't have the authority to sit down and say, everybody is going to follow this. You follow these things. No, but the Lord does want us to operate under a set of standards that we are personally convicted about, that we say, and sometimes we might not understand. I would caution you against saying, you know what, I'm not going to have anything to do with it until the Lord shows me. There are things that the Lord might not be able to show you yet because you're not at the place to receive it. But you make a determination every day. Make a determination. I'm going to learn as much about God as I can. Lord, I don't want anything to hinder me from coming to as much knowledge of your way and your plan. Your way is all I want. I don't want anything else. I want every day, I want you to teach me, and the Lord will open things to you. There's a scripture that talks about, I'm going to read this in 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, 12. 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now there are diversities. In the fourth verse, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And it goes on, talks about the different gifts. I believe that many times that we can get confused by this verse and say, okay, well, this person was gifted with wisdom. This person was gifted with knowledge. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And there are a multitude of scriptures that talk about you need to abound and ever be increasing in the knowledge of God. What this scripture says is that for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. All that means is that there are different gifts, and one person that one has may be able to take the Word of God and expound it in such a way where the Spirit of God is able to penetrate in your heart by those words that are spoken, and you can hear it and it'll ring true to you if you're honest, and you'll say, oh, I get that. Yes, I understand that. I accept it. Now, I talked to somebody one time that tried to bring a different doctrine on something. It was something that was contrary to everything that I had always felt was right on this. And this person said, this is the way it is. And I said, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. And this person said, listen, I have the gift of wisdom here. This is the trouble with people these days. We need to accept that people have these gifts, and you need to take what I'm saying. And I said, you expect me to believe that it's true and to take it and to absorb it and to live it when I don't even understand it? No. Do you know that many times we can tell somebody something? I can preach something. You can tell somebody something. But just because I said it, just because you said it, is not necessarily the point where that person becomes responsible. The responsibility is when, and you might not even be telling, or somebody might not even be talking to you about a certain thing, but something is used there where you can hear it and say, oh, this is what the Lord's trying to teach me. It's a personal transaction between you and God. I'm sorry if I'm being so, I'm not trying to be hard to understand here. I would like to consider again. I've mentioned these people several times, but I've had a lot of thoughts in my mind recently about the Laodicean church. And y'all have heard this several times, but they said we're rich. They said we got everything. We don't need anything. And the Lord said, you don't have anything. And now I'm holding you responsible for all that. Well, they had years where the Lord wanted to talk to them, wanted to tell them, wanted to show them things. I just wonder if somebody ever came and held a revival there. And in the revival, said things that if their heart was in the right place, would have pricked them and stirred them. Be very careful when about discounting somebody says, I have a burden from the Lord. Be very careful. You know, we can get in our mind where we can say, well, I don't want to listen to this person because I don't like the way that they do this, and this person over here. And before we realize it, we can have half the ministers slandered in one way or another, you know, it might be one of those that will teach you what you need to know by the Spirit of God. Now I want to just get this real quick. Almost finished here. Jesus in Matthew 13 talked about the parable of the sower. And he told him in parables. And he said, he spoke to him a lot in parables. The disciples asked later. In the 10th verse. Okay, I'll back up. Maybe about the 8th verse. It says, but other fell. So he's teaching this parable. But other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, they all heard it. I think it's pretty evident that ears to hear means that your heart has to be in a place where you can absorb what's being taught here. Do you know? Oh, well, okay. He said, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. Shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, was Jesus just willing to teach some the gospel and not others? No, he wasn't. You know that he didn't have to speak a word to those people. He spoke to them in such a way where the information was there. There was things there for them to be able to get good to their soul, but it was concealed in such a way because the people's heart had a veil over it. Moses said, when the veil is taken away, when they shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Jesus said, these people, they don't have ears to hear. But there were some of them that had a heart to hear. And we're going to read about one of those in a minute. He said, I speak to them in parables. But he told them, when he spoke to them, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have an understanding, or if you have a heart to seek after the knowledge of God, he said, blessed are they which seek and hunger and seek, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. These people were not hungering. They were not, for the most part, they were not thirsting. They were coming with, they had some things that they were curious about, and there were some things they wanted to hear, but they would come and deride him, and they would get offended at some of the things he said. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, That's how you're going to live. I'm the bread from heaven. They got offended because of that. And he said, blessed are your eyes. Well, he said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why? Why? Was it because that they were apostles and only the 12 apostles or the 12 disciples, only they had the favor bestowed on them by God? Why would God even tell them this in parables? You know why? It's because he was the plumb line. Amos said, I'm going to set a plumb line, and it's going to make you responsible. There are things that will make you responsible. But with that, what does light do? It reveals everything. And that's what Jesus Christ was. He was the light that came and revealed everything, good and bad. But with that, He also brought the grace to be able to say, hey, I have a need here. I have a need. This is what Andrew's been teaching some lessons on the Beatitudes. And the very first thing that Jesus said was, blessed are the poor in spirit. I have a need. I don't have everything. I don't have on hand what it takes to meet God. I don't have all the knowledge that I want to have. I don't have all the love in my heart that I know I need. I've got something, and some of them may be like that rich young ruler said, I don't even know what I need. What do I lack? Lord, You show me. What do I lack? And that's the kind of heart that will get, you'll get results that way. If we go, I've got one more scripture to go to John, the second chapter, and the 23rd verse. It says that when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in His name when He saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. All these people that were standing in front of Him, we have to be careful with what we say to people, because we can't see inside of people's hearts. Every word that Jesus said to every person, He knew exactly what was in their heart when He spoke it. And He knew how deep it would penetrate. And He knew what kind of resistance it would encounter. Jesus, it said that He did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men. He knew the people He was speaking to. But then it said there was a man. If you turn to the next chapter, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he was seeking for knowledge. Jesus did not speak to him in parables. Jesus spoke to him very clearly and plainly, because Nicodemus opened his heart and said, I know that there's something here that I don't have, and I want it, and I need it. Had a hard time getting to Jesus. I don't know if he was too afraid to come to Jesus, or maybe he wasn't allowed. Maybe, I don't know what all the reasons were, but he came. He came to Jesus by night, and Jesus was so happy to tell him, this is how it works. This is what, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And then he talked about that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I think he also, in that part, he said, this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that hateth the light, something like that, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, Jesus gave him quite a talk there, and Nicodemus went home with his heart full, and he took it and seized upon it. And when Jesus died, Nicodemus covered him in something like 100 pounds of spices. Nicodemus was one that hungered and thirsted, and he was one of the Pharisees. He was one of the people that Jesus would speak to in parables, but his heart was different. And he wanted the knowledge of God. I want to encourage all of us. You can know God. You can have the knowledge of God. You can understand deep things of God. You can understand the attributes of God. You can have them alive and working in your heart. You can feel the love of God. You can feel the power of God. You don't have to say, well, I guess I just wasn't created to be spiritual like these people over here. You don't have to, we don't want to put anyone on a pedestal and say, look how spiritual they are. You can be as spiritual as the most spiritual person you know. You can have Jesus for yourself. You can have Him as your friend. You can have Him as your confidant. you can have his understanding in your heart, and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt which way to go in life. You don't have to listen and wait for somebody to tell you what to do and figure it all out for you. You can ask God how to dress. You can ask God how to live. You can ask God what kind of music to listen to, and he can show those things to you. I would like to encourage all of you to be filled with the knowledge of God. You pray for me.